dangerous sovereign of the sea. I like lofty language when you describe our Lord. In talking about the gospel, it needs simple, easy to be understood terms, but language can't get lofty enough when you describe that wondrous sovereign of the sea. Right? His name shall be called Wonderful. And on the scriptures describes him to our finite minds. Genesis 6. This morning we looked at Noah the sinner. And tonight, by God's grace, we're going to look at Noah the Savior. We're going to look at Noah as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was because of Noah. It was for Noah's sake that everyone with him was saved. Right? Because of Noah. For Noah's sake, God said, "Thee have I seen righteous." Didn't say that about Noah's sons. Didn't say that about Noah's wife. It said Noah. Because of him, for Noah's sake, everyone with Noah was saved. I've already spoken the gospel, haven't I? For those of you who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Verses 1 through 7 we looked at this morning speak of the utter depravity and sinfulness of man. How that God said he would destroy man and beast. And we saw this morning, I think, that it is the same now in our generation as it was in the days of Noah. Man is the same. He's the same wicked, vile, depraved, sinful creature. He hasn't changed a bit. But neither has our God. He said, "I'm the Lord, I change not." Noah found grace. And we found that others have found grace too. In the eyes of the Lord, he hasn't changed. He's still gracious. He's still merciful. But man is the same sinful, depraved creature, and God will someday, soon, I believe, based upon the scripture, God will someday, soon, destroy man and beast again. God will destroy man, but not all men. Not all mankind. Some, like Noah, have been chosen by God. Some have been elected by God. Some are objects of his love, his mercy, and his grace. Those sinners, like Noah was, they will be spared. And the reason that God chose to spare some, the reason that God has elected some to save some, is because he placed them in a just man. They are found in and with a just man. All right, look at verse 9. I think you've already seen this and know where we're headed. Verse 9 says, "These are the generations of Noah." Now, back in chapter 8, verse 29, we see his name is called Noah for a reason. His father called him Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us." His name, Noah, means rest. He'll comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands. because of the curse of the Lord will get comfort because of the curse through this son, Noah. Rest. Noah's family, back then, before he was born, Noah's family took great comfort from this son, didn't they? Well, so do the past saints in the Old Testament. They took comfort and consolation in knowing that someday a child would be born, a son given, and we'll receive great comfort and rest through him. And then after Noah was born, Noah's wife, Noah's children, they rested in Noah, didn't they? They found comfort in Noah. They found a place, a haven of rest, a place that they could be free from fear of condemnation and judgment and death because God accepted Noah. He said so. God accepted Noah. So Noah's boy, Noah's wife, could feel comfortable because they were with Noah, you see. God accepts Noah. He'll accept me because I'm with him. God's going to save Noah in the ark. Well, I'm going in with him, so I'm going to be saved too, see. So they were comforted as well. Noah was their representative, right? Noah was their representative. Noah was their hiding place. Noah, in effect, was their righteousness. God said, I've seen thee righteous. Jesus Christ is our Noah, our rest, our comfort. And we are the generations of Jesus. We're the regenerated of Jesus Christ. Read on. Verse 9. Now these are the generations of Noah. Rest, comfort. Noah was a just man. Noah was a just man. Now the scripture says the just shall live by faith. How is a man justified by a man? To be justified by God must live by faith. Believe God. Live by faith. The scripture says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. A child was born, the son was given. A man, made of a woman, made under the law, a man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and he was justified in the Spirit. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 3:16, justified in the Spirit. Jesus Christ, as a man, lived by faith. Well, that's a miracle in itself. It really is. Christ became a man for men so he could not perform miracles for himself. He had to live by faith in his God. Now, there's real comfort in that for me. How about you? A man. Christ was a man who had perfect faith in his God. Perfect faith. He was justified in or by the Spirit. Romans 1 said he was declared justified in the Spirit. Justified means declared holy, doesn't it? And what I mean, Ed, means to be declared holy, righteous, just, pure in the eyes of God. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned, but more than that, to be holy, justified. Justified or declared holy and righteous. Romans 1 says he was declared to be the Son of God. How? According to the Spirit of holiness. According to the Spirit of holiness. Christ was a just man. The only real just man that ever lived. Only man. The Scripture says it over and over again. Who shall ascend under the holy hill of the Lord? Only he that has clean hands, a pure heart, mind, thought, word, deed, motive, everything about him. Never lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn to see a just man. Who can find him? Is there a just man on the earth? Job, is there a just man? How can he be claimed as born a woman? It's a mystery, isn't it? Great is the mystery of godliness. He was justified in the Spirit. A man was just. A man. And just one was just. Jesus Christ, a just man. And we are justified by faith in him. By his faith. By his faith. Read on. It says, Noah was a just man. Now, we've heard all these things before, haven't we? I've said these very same exact words. I have books that thick full of sermons. I don't know how many I've preached since I've been here. Say the same things over and over. But I'm telling you, this is all your comfort. This is the gospel. This is all your peace, your consolation, your comfort, your hope, your strength. This is my job to make line upon line, precept, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, to bring remembrance. I would have you, Peter said, to be in constant remembrance of this thing. And when I'm dead, Peter said, I want you to somebody else to come along and remind you of these. And when I'm dead, if you're still around, whoever you replaces me, I want him to say the same things. I was telling the brethren, I listened to Brother John Chapman's message that he preached here when I was gone, Thanksgiving. He preached on Zacchaeus. And he just the gospel so simple and plain and clear, things you've heard a thousand times. I've heard me preach from Zacchaeus dozens of times, and my heart was so lifted. I knew what he was going to say before he said it, but I enjoyed him. I was riding that high off my seat going down to North Carolina. That's the power of God. You see, this is what makes the gospel the power of God, is that you can hear the same things over and over again and still delight in them. And that's what I'm supposed to do now. And I don't get tired of this. To preach the same things to me is not grievous. You'd think I'd get tired of writing these things. Just reach up and grab an old sermon. Any, many, mighty, mo and say the same thing. You know, every time I study it and write the same things, it's still fresh. As a just man. And I endeavor to say it in such a way that I can't... Well... It's up to God to make these things live, you see. The just shall live by faith. Well, we've never had an ounce of faith, really. Christ did. A man lived by faith. And he says, because I did that, you're going to live. We live by the faith, what? Jeanette, I'll let you speak at once. Say it. Of the Son of God, who loved us and died for by his faith. God says a man's going to be justified by faith. Henry, you're going to be justified by faith. You got any?
Not much. Nothing to speak of. Sometimes it doesn't look like you have any at all. Christ did.
You're going to live by the faith of the Son of the faithfulness of the Son of God. It's not your faith that's going to save you, Henry. It's not. It's not. The day you die, you might not be able to say his name. Right? Somebody might say to you, do you believe Jesus Christ, Henry? Who? When your mind's gone, Alzheimer's kicks in fully, you might say, who? Right? What's your hope? That he knows you, remembers you. Huh? Lord, remember me. He was perfect in his generation. See that? Verse 9. Noah was a just man. Christ is, a just man. Perfect in his generations. Perfect. Upright. Even his enemies, even those who sought to kill him, tried to find something bad about this man. Pilate, he tried. Stanley, he tried. And his wife said she suffered many things because of this man. In dreams, he tried, he wanted to find something that he could condemn this man for. He said, I find no fault in him. Behold the man. What a man. Pilate saw him. He'd seen, that old Roman ruler had seen man after man after man wilt under Roman pressure and pain and torture and suffering and all that, that those professional soldiers brought about on countless people. They'd seen man after man come and go, and they saw him. Oh, we behold the man. What a man. Jerk his beard out. Pummel him into a bloody mass. Crown him with thorns. He didn't utter a peep. Hurl charge after charge after charge, condemnation, all thoughts against him. What did he do? Behold the man. What a man. What an upright man. This is man. This is the God man. Behold the man. A man approved of God. A just man, the only one, a perfect man, perfect God and perfect man. What a mystery. Perfect in his generations, perfect. And Noah, it says, verse 9, walked with God. Oh, Christ walked with God, didn't he? Oh, Nancy, I'd like, just for 30 seconds of my life, he did it 24 hours a day. Sometimes he went days without sleeping. Why? He was walking with his God. Days, 40 days and nights without eating anything. We go 4 hours and we're miserable. 40 days, they said, Lord, take something and eat something. Well, he went 40 days, but he did that over and over again, day after day without eating. He said, Lord, eat something. He said, I'm eating. Didn't he, Barbara? He said, I'm eating. What if we don't see anything? I know you don't. I've tried meat to eat that you don't know of. Someday you will. Walking with his God. He said, as a child, a 12-year-old boy. How old are you, Andrew? 11? He said, I must be about my Father's business. A 12-year-old boy. He was a man, Andrew, when he was 12 years old. He walked with his God. He said, I do always those things which please my Heavenly Father. I can't say that ever. I don't ever do anything which pleases my Heavenly Father. Do you? I try, but I fail miserably. He said, I do always those things which please my Heavenly Father. Always. He said, I delight to do thy will. I find in myself another law warring against my will, that I cannot do the things that I would will. He said, I always do. Whew, man, he walked with God, didn't he? His meat, his drink, his life, his conversation, his walk was with his God. Ah, boy. Jesus Christ. You know, Noah's name means rest. And our Lord's name speaks rest to his people, doesn't it? Huh? His very name speaks rest to his people. Lord. You call me Lord, so I am. He's Lord of the dead and the living. Lord, we're in his hand. Lord. Doesn't it speak peace to you? Huh? I don't say it like Kenneth Copeland, some of these blasphemous fools just as kind of a byword, just so you won't think we're heretics. He's Lord. That's the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's the peace and the comfort of my life. He's Lord. People say that, don't they, as a byword, as a catchphrase. Jesus is Lord. It's the salvation and the sustenance and the provision. And the, it's everything to believe. He's Lord. Let's speak peace to you. You want to speak a word in season to somebody that's suffering, that's sorrowing, that's troubled and tried and afflicted. You want to speak one word in season? He's Lord. Is that enough, Terry? Said, I'm the Lord. I kill, I make alive. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Half more than a phrase to his people. It speaks rest and comfort. Lord, Jesus. Call his name Jesus. We hesitate to use it very much, don't we? Because this world has so abused it. But I tell you, it means something to us, doesn't it? Call his name Jesus. Why? He shall save. It means Savior. It means Savior, Barbara. Jesus. There's only one that deserves that name, isn't it? Jesus. There's a bunch of them down in Mexico. Little brown skin Jesuses. But they can't save a flea. Oh, there was a brown skinned Jewish boy that was born, no. He can save anybody. Jesus, Savior. Christ, Messiah. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? The woman said. Yes, it is. It's the Christ, the one we've been waiting on. That's what Christ means, the one we've been waiting for. The Messiah. The Messiah. Every single people on earth has a Messiah. Islamic people, they believe in Muhammad. The Buddhists believe in, I don't know what they believe in, Buddha. They don't believe he's coming back. They believe in what he said. Hindus believe in Krishna or some manifestation of him in some form of an elephant or something. I tell you, we've got a person. A Christ, a Messiah. Who's coming back? Who's coming back? Every other Messiah died. And their bones are in graves. We've got one that's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he's coming back. A real, the Messiah. Verse 10. It says, Noah begat three sons. Noah begat three sons. Well, we are sons of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are begotten by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Who's that, John? That's Christ, isn't it? Huh? He's the Father. Who says the Son? No, he's the Father that begat us. Philip, have I been so long time with you, you don't know me? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're begotten of him. Begotten of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Noah begat sons, and ours did too. Our Noah did too, Christ. All right, and God said to Noah, said something to Noah here. Verse 13. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Noah, make an ark. Noah, you've got to do a great and difficult work to save mankind, to save your family. Noah, I've got a job for you to do. Build an ark. Make an ark. Make thee an ark. The word, the scripture says, was made flesh. Made flesh. Christ was made an ark for us, wasn't it? Huh? Christ was made that ark for us. The word was made flesh. The Jews said this, listen. The Jews said, we stone thee because you, being a man, make yourself God. Well, spiritual Israel, the true Jew, says, we crown thee because you, being God, make yourself man. Huh? True Jews. He made himself. That's a mystery, isn't it? He made himself. The father. The child of the mother was her father. He made himself of no reputation. Christ made himself our ark. Noah was told to make an ark. Christ did. He made an ark, a tabernacle, a place for him to dwell in and his people too. A refuge, a hiding place, a cleft rock. Now, verses 14 through 16 describe the ark, and I'm not going to go into that now. I'm going to do a whole message on that, just on Christ the ark, because there's much to be seen there. We're looking at a man now. We're looking at Noah. So look down at verse 17. And so Noah was given a work to do, an ark to build for the salvation of mankind. Do you know that Noah saved mankind? Not all men, without exception. But he saved mankind as the species, didn't he? Well, so did Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, God so loved the world, mankind, as a species. Isn't this the way this is written, Brother Ed? He so loved his creation. He so loved the species of man, creating his own image. He wasn't going to destroy this image completely. He so loved mankind as a species that he sent his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What did he give him for? Gave him a work to do, to save man. Christ saved mankind. Had it not been for Christ the ark, God would have wiped out all mankind. Gave him a work to do. Scripture says, a body hast thou given me, an ark, to do this work. Verse 17. God said, behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Everything that's in the earth, but not everything in the ark. So God gave Noah a work to do, and it was a long and a difficult task. A long and a difficult task. Noah was 120 years. Hope we don't take that long, Mindy, building our house. 120 years. Can you imagine? 120 years he was in building this ark. The reason being, because it was such a great work. The size of that ship, and for one man to do it, it doesn't say he had any help. Does it, Rick? You see anywhere where it says Shem, Ham, and Japheth helped him any? We just surmise that they did, but it doesn't say they did. So I guess they didn't. I don't know. He, by himself, he built this ark. That's the reason it took him 120 years. By himself. Could be his boys were worthless, about like most of them are now. Didn't want to help him in, huh? By himself. That'd work, wouldn't it? It'd work for the type. When he had by himself built this ark. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. When he had by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of God. But 120 years Noah was in building this ark, because he did it by himself for one thing, but there were exact blueprints to follow. God gave him specific orders on how to build this ark, and every jot and tittle was to be followed, wasn't it? Exact blueprint were drawn from God's word. God spoke the word, and Noah, I bet you Noah was, okay, an ark,
How big is it going to be?
It's going to be so. It's going to be 300
cubits.
Hold on, Lori. Wait a minute. Let me write this down. 300 cubits and so on. As the Lord dictated to Lord, wait a minute. I want to make sure that I get this down. Now, how am I supposed to do that?
He took exacting blueprints from the Lord. And then the time it took him to gather all the materials, now, he just didn't go down to 40 West building supply. Trees had to be cut down. Had my hand sawn, shaped, plain, seasoned. Don't put green wood in there, Rick. Season it. Just, you can imagine the work involved in building this big one. Huh? Material, trees saw, and they weren't taken just from off the property. They were floated down. Just the work was tremendous, a daunting task. The actual work was long and arduous, great physical pain and suffering that he endured. Noah suffered in building this boat. You know he did. Pain and exhaustion. Well, Christ was given a work to do, a work to perform, a people to save. And he was given these people. When was he given to them? When he turned 30? Before the foundation of the world. This was a long work, wasn't it? According to the scripture. You see, every jot and tittle, think about this, every jot and tittle of God's infinite law had to be written. You know how complex the scriptures are, Stan. How intricately woven they are. How amazing. How glorious the scriptures are. It had to be written. It had to be written. It had to be fulfilled. Every detail. Listen, in the life of every person, purpose had to be purposed and planned before. Down and put in a blueprint. That's the reason the scripture says a day is 1,000 years with the Lord. Every day in the life of mankind, the Lord spent the equivalent of 1,000 years in purposing and planning it. Think about that. And it was a long and difficult work. Time went by. Thousands of years, the work was being carried out. The work was being carried out. The ark was being built. Huh? You see those beautiful pictures throughout the old... The ark was being built, wasn't it? Board upon board, brick upon brick. House was being built. Until one day, John, the last Old Testament prophet, said, there he is. Look. There's the ark. Here it comes, the Lamb of God. And then, those 33 years that Christ spent on this earth, he lived an eternity in 33 years. I kind of believe he looked like an old man at 33 years old. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Sin, you know, has something to do with aging process. But you know, he didn't look like a child. He looked like a man. Sorrow and sin and suffering, the weight of sin and suffering and his responsibility and all weighing upon him. He had lines in his face, furrows in his brow, stooped shoulders. Yes. A long, difficult work. And 33 years. And then just in 6 hours on the cross. What went on in 6 hours on the cross? We'll never know. All of time and eternity was riding on those 6 hours on the cross. What a work. What a work. To finish the work. 6 hours. Did he do it? Did he finish the work? Did Noah?
Did Noah build the boat? Will the boat float? I read on. Verse 18. Verse 18, God said about Noah, he said, with thee will I establish my covenants. With thee will I establish my covenants. Oh, I love the word covenant. I just like the sound of it. I love to talk about it. I love the book that talks about it, Hebrews. Oh, that's one of my favorite books, covenant. Covenant. Whenever I hear the covenant, my heart just kind of, just I don't know what it does. I get peace. Covenant. Covenant. I've made with thee an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Covenant. Yes, God Almighty, His oath. You've quoted it to me, didn't you, today, John? His oath. He quoted that song we sung this morning. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the overwhelming flood. His covenant. Tell you, although it be not so with my house. Yet, God, but God hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Covenant means promise. Covenant means everything. God has got it all worked out concerning you. And it's all written. His word is settled in heaven. Two immutable things. It's impossible for Him to lie. His oath, His covenant. His covenant and His word on it. Sealed. It's all sealed in blood. Sure. His covenant. God made with who? A covenant. Look at it real closely again. Do you remember when we studied this one time, the covenant? Did He make with Noah a new covenant? Did He make with Abraham a new covenant? Did He make with Moses a new covenant? Did He? Look at it again. You might have missed it. Verse 18. With thee will I establish my covenant. Not a covenant. Huh? That's significant. Every word is significant. My covenant. What is His covenant? It's that everlasting covenant. That's not a new covenant. No, since you're such a good boy, I'm going to make a new agreement with you. No. God already made a covenant. And Noah happened to be in on it. It was concerning Noah, but it wasn't between God and Noah. You don't hear it. God said, well, if you'll do this, Noah, I'll do that. That's the covenant, isn't it? Stan and I are going to make a covenant. We're going to agree to do something. Now, Stan, I'll do the work if you'll provide the money. And we'll make a covenant. We're going to do something. If he agrees, and I agree, we both get together, we clasp hands, we're going to do something together. God does not ask you, Noah, anything here. Is he? God's not asking Noah to help him. God said, do this, do that. It's part of my covenant. You do this, you do that. God made a covenant, an everlasting covenant, before the world began with His Son. With His Son. That's the covenant of grace. It's the old covenant. Though it's newly revealed, yet it's the old covenant. It was really the first, not the second, but the second reveal. And He takes away the first reveal to establish the second. The old covenant is a covenant of grace. The only covenant He made with man, agree with, I'll do this if you do that, was Adam. A covenant of works with Adam. He didn't make a covenant with Moses, covenant of works. He didn't make a covenant with Abraham, covenant of works for his salvation. He made with Christ a covenant of works. Right? God said, if you will do this, I will save them. Right? You do, they live. This do, they live. Right? Huh? That's the covenant. That's God's covenant. Instead, He had our name. We were in on it. Not that we had anything to say or do with it, but He had us in mind. And see, He's just revealing it to Noah. That's all He's doing, is revealing it to you. And that's when God said, God made with me an everlasting covenant. When David said that, that means that God just reveals to him that everlasting covenant. Does that make sense to y'all? You all? The covenant. My covenant. God says, I will establish my covenant. When the gospel comes to you, God is establishing with you his covenant. Isn't it? Are you established, Henry? Peter prayed that. The Lord might establish you and strengthen you. How are you established? That's how it reads. Established. You established on the covenant of grace? Has God made with you, established with you the covenant? Are you grounded and settled in this, that all things are ordered and sure concerning you? Huh? That's what that's saying there. Well, God made with Christ, you see. Christ is the one he made this covenant with. It's God's covenant, not a covenant, but God's covenant, his everlasting covenant, the one he made with Christ before the world began. And here's what it says, and thou shalt, verse 18, thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee, thy sons and thy wives shall come into the ark. All these fellows, listen to me now, all these fellows were to enter the ship which Noah suffered to build for them. You catch that? All these fellows were to enter the ship which Noah suffered to build for them. They were entering into the fellowship of his suffering. And that's exactly what we do. We enter into a fellowship of Christ's suffering, the work that he performed, the suffering that he performed. We enter into it with him. Verse 19, and of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring. Shalt thou bring into the ark. Thou shalt bring two of every sort. Thou shalt bring them into the ark to keep them alive with thee. Thou shalt come and thou shalt bring, he said to Noah. Call his name Jesus, the scripture, for he shall. He shall come to save the people. He shall save them from their sins. And Hebrews says it became him in bringing many sons unto the Lord. He shall come and he shall bring our Noah to keep them alive. To keep them alive with thee, male and female. Joseph said to his brethren, remember when Joseph said to his brethren, God has sent me before you to keep you alive. To keep you alive. And Jesus Christ, we are kept alive with him. Because Noah built this ark, they were saved. Because Noah went in, they went in. Because Noah lived, they lived also. And Christ is our life. And in him we live and move and have our being. And in Christ shall all be made alive, the scripture says. All right, let's hurry. Look at verse 23 of chapter 7. Look down there. Chapter 7, verse 23. It says, every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive. See, in Christ is life. In him alone is life. And they that were with him in the ark. Only they, everyone else is dead and trespasses and sin, aren't they? And only those in Christ have life. They that have the Son have life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Because in him is life, he said. Noah only remained alive. Christ only is life. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. It says, God remembered Noah and every living thing that was with him. All the cattle that was with him in the ark. Every living thing was with him in the ark. They were baptized in effect, into the water with Noah. Went there. They were baptized into the water with Noah, buried with him in the ark. Scripture says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live because he lives, never to die again. Finally, I asked you a while ago, did Noah get the job done? Did it? Did Noah build the boat? Did he get all the animals in? Did he shut the door and say, oh, I forgot that female ostrich. Did he get them all in? Huh? Look at verse 19, again in chapter 6. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring. Verse 20, of fowls, of cattle, of every creep. Every creep. Creeping thing of the earth. Every worm. Isn't that worm?
A creeping thing? Be sure and bring the worms, Noah.
I got
something very fond about worms.
We'll talk about them later on, Noah. Bring the worms. Every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep the shall come unto thee. All that I've given you to bring shall come unto thee. Noah, any doubt? Shall come unto thee. Oh, it became him in bringing many sons. It says, of every sort. Doesn't the scripture say, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people on the earth? He brought a people in. Gather mine elect, he said, from the four corners of the earth. Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Bringing many sons, all sorts, male and female, Jew and Gentile, black and white, rich and poor. Bring them all in. Bring them in. The highways and the hedges. All the Father giveth me, Christ said, shall come unto me. And I give unto them eternal life. In this glory. Verse 21, look at this. And thou, take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten. Thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Noah, you provide food for them. You're going to be their provider. They're going to eat from your hand. You're going to have to feed them, Noah. Christ became our bread, didn't he? And our water, our meat, and our drink. Well, did he do it? The suspense is building. Did he? Verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. And for emphasis, it says, so did he. Thus he did, so did he. That'd be a good title, this one. So did he. So did he. Thus did Noah. All according. Christ said, he said, I've finished the work you gave me to do. You know what he said, John? You read it tonight. I have given them. The work you've given me to do, I've finished it. Gathered the elect. I've all safe in the ark. They're all here. We didn't forget a one. It's not that he couldn't round up. See, that horse is fast. It's not that he couldn't catch. He caught him. He rounded him up. Now, miraculously, though, they were all made willing. They all came. Those wild beasts were tamed. That's how the wolf lay down with the lamb. The lion ate straw like an ox. Oh, they didn't provide meat in that ark. They all ate the same food. Sure they did. Their natures were changed when they were in that ark. And all provisions, Christ said, all provisions are made for the journey, Father. Everything's here. They're all here. But I and the children which thou hast given me, all provisions have been made for their journey. They'll get there. We'll all get there in the sweet by and by. Safe on dry land. Safe on dry land. Because why? Because Noah's a good captain. He's the captain of their salvation. And Christ is our captain. All remained alive was Noah. All right. Next time we look at the ark, and there's a glorious picture there in that earthen vessel. All right, stand with me.